Well, good morning, everyone. I love that last song. I actually loved all the songs this morning. Weren't they so uplifting? Our God reigns forever and ever. The last time I sang that wonderful chorus, Sweep Over My Soul, a few of us were gathered in the office, and we were having a virtual call with Ev Whitaker. And she sang that powerful song. So I thought about her. I don't know about who you thought about. We all each need the Holy Spirit today to just sweep over our souls, don't we? Yes, we do. But as you think about those words, my rest is complete. Well, guess what? Your healing is complete in Jesus' name. So I was thinking about Ev Whitaker, and perhaps you were thinking about someone else who really desperately needs a mighty, powerful move of the Holy Spirit in their life. So let's take this moment before we turn to God's Word to pray. To pray for those that are in need of healing and restoration. Those like Ev that are on this long journey of healing. Praise God, she's getting there slowly, but just keep praying for her body to rebuild where the muscles need to be rebuilt that she can move and walk again. Gary Torrance, those that are sick at home this morning with illness, maybe someone else that you know who really, really needs the touch of God in their life. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together to worship in such freedom, to celebrate your goodness, to recall your faithfulness, Lord, how great you are, how wonderful you are in all the world. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your word, that as we, when we sing it, Lord, we are reminded again of, Lord, of the fact, of the truth, God, that only you, Lord Jesus, can save us. And that, God, you are a great healer. You are a great physician. You are a great comforter and great counselor. Lord, we lift up to you right now those in need of your healing touch. Lord, we have been praying faithfully, Lord, for our dear friends, our dear brothers and sisters in the Lord who have been ill and sick and in the hospital recovering from illness. And Lord, we pray right now and lift up to you Ev Whitaker and Gary Torrance. We pray that you continue to heal their bodies from head to toe. Continue, we pray, even this day that you would perform a miracle in their life. Lord Jesus, you are the miracle worker. There's no work too hard for you, no body that you cannot transform in seconds into complete health and strength. So Lord, we do pray that you would heal and continue to restore to perfect health those that are sick, those that are not here today because of sickness, Lord. Help us never to forget, Lord, to turn to you first and foremost when we hear of those not well, that we pray and persevere in praying for their healing and wholeness, for their strength. Thank you, God, that you hear our prayers and that you answer our prayers in your perfect timing. Heavenly Father, we just again lift this service up to you. We open our hearts to you now. As we have been singing and praying, Lord, we pray that you continue to reign in our hearts and that Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts to hear your word today, speaking to us about what we need to hear and what we need to do to change in our lives so that, Lord, we are fully devoted, yielded to you each and every day. Thank you again, Lord, for this place where we can gather. How blessed we are to be together as family and as friends to worship you and grow in our faith. For in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our scripture reading this morning. Oh, yeah. I actually did remember about the children. It's just that not a lot of them today. So I think they're going to stay put where they are. My kids. So I'll be testing you guys if you, you know, are going to listen to the sermon later. I'll make sure you were listening. So as we look to God's word, please turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to be reading verses 1 to 11. Verses 1 to 11. As you follow the words on the screen behind me, and as we hear again from God's word, Paul's letter to the Thessalonian church. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us be like others. Let us not be like others, who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A college professor had the mysterious habit of removing a tennis ball from his jacket pocket as he walked into the lecture hall each morning. And he would set it on the corner of the podium. And after giving the lecture for the day, he would once again pick up the tennis ball, place it back into his jacket pocket, and leave the room. No one ever understood why he did this until one day a student fell asleep during the lecture. The professor didn't miss a word of his lecture while he walked down over to where the student was sleeping. He had the tennis ball in his hand and he threw it, hitting the sleeping student squarely on the top of the head. The next day, the professor walked into the room, reached into his jacket and removed a baseball, put it on his podium. And no one ever fell asleep in his class the rest of the semester. I don't have good aim, but it's sitting right here. Just because I can't see you in the back, I can still walk back there. I'm sure nobody has ever fallen asleep during Pastor Lionel's sermon or mine. Or ever. Staying awake is so important. And Paul talks about that today, which we will look at later. Being alert. Being watchful. At the start of this passage in verses 1 to 3, Paul continues with teaching that he had been giving on the return of Christ. And last week, if you remember from our sermon, from the passage that we looked at in chapter 4, Paul had told the Thessalonians that Christ is coming back. And he was going to descend one day from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then all believers who are alive when Christ returns will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so this glorious event called the rapture is certainly something all Christians should look forward to. And the return of Christ, as we learned last week from Paul, it's imminent. And he even refers to that reality again today. That is one truth about Christ's return we should always keep in mind. It's imminent. And so Paul encourages believers, not just in our passage today, but there is a theme that runs through this letter about being watchful, being alert, being prepared for that great and glorious day. And in this passage, Paul uses different words, metaphors, phrases to describe believers and unbelievers. Those who are saved, those who aren't saved. And in verse 5, he reminds the Thessalonian believers that they are children of the light, children of the day. He says, "You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." Verse 5. And as children of the light, Paul says, you have this knowledge that Jesus is coming back. You are not unaware of this imminent event, as those who are in the darkness. And that's one thing that differs from those who are saved and unsaved. We know based on God's word that this is going to happen one day soon. So let us be ready. Let's be preparing to meet him. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you live in light of this glorious event. Why? Because you belong to Jesus. And this is what it means to be a Christian, to follow in Christ's footsteps, to listen and obey his teachings, and to be aware of what has yet to happen, that one day will happen based on God's word. Be ready for his coming. We are not aware as those who are in the dark, those who are asleep. And he contrasts them with those who are children of the dark. And these people have no knowledge of Christ's return because they do not belong to Christ. They live only for themselves and for the world around them. And so we should be persevering and not only praying for their salvation, but reaching them with the good news of the gospel, pointing them to Jesus as creatively as we can each and every week. Now, later in verse 6, he uses different words to describe believers and unbelievers. He's talked about being of the day or of the night, but now in verse 6, listen to what he says. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. And here he uses different words now to describe believers and unbelievers. And here he calls those who are believers, those who are awake, and unbelievers as those who are asleep. And the sleepiness is not physical, it's spiritual. They're asleep spiritually. The insight we get from Paul when he uses these metaphors is that we are to be awake to what is going on around us. We are not to be like those who are asleep and don't have a clue as to what is going on spiritually in their life and in the world around them. But as children of the light and of the day, fellow believers, we are called to be watchful and alert. There is repetition within these words in our passage today, so we must be very, very alert, very aware of what God is speaking to us about our life today. However, it is not easy to be watchful, and that's one reality we struggle with. Watching, being alert requires concentration and endurance. Being alert means being aware of what is going on around you. There's one moment in the New Testament where Jesus speaks very specifically about this, and it's the night that he was betrayed. And that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus took three of his closest disciples with him and told them to watch. Watch with him for 1 hour. Would you be able to do that? But when Jesus came to them, he found them all asleep. And he rebuked them sharply and saying in Matthew 26, verse 40 to 41, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So Jesus highlights for us here in this moment the battle between the spirit and the flesh. You see, our flesh is our own weak-willed human nature without the power of God. You see, we need the power of God and endurance from the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus calls us to do. Can you imagine trying to live for Jesus without the power of God in your life? You will fail miserably every time. With the Holy Spirit, however, this great gift that we have been given by God at the moment of our salvation, and you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit in that moment, with the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to defeat any temptation and to walk in freedom and victory every day. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit guides us, helps us to complete the task that God has given each one of us. He enables us to live in the light, to walk in the truth. Again, without the Holy Spirit, we are powerless to do greater works for Christ. I hope you are getting a grip on how important that truth is, how important walking in the Spirit is each and every day when it comes to being awake, being alert and watchful. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor during World War II, said the church community has to trust the Holy Spirit in every decision and believe strongly that the Spirit continues to be present in the community and at work in it. The Spirit will not permit our community to fumble about in the darkness if only we are willing to take the Holy Spirit seriously. Our Lord Jesus has also commanded us to be watchful until he returns. But unlike the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, who only received a rebuke when they were found asleep, the consequences of being found asleep when Christ returns will be a lot greater, won't they? Again, in our passage, Paul refers here to those who are asleep. And if you were looking at last week's passage, you will notice that he does make reference to those who are asleep again. And I did want to highlight today that Paul is using here a different word. In verse 6, when Paul uses the word asleep, he is using it in a different way than when he did in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, when he referred to those who were asleep in death. In chapter 4, Paul here is mentioning those who have fallen asleep in Christ. And this is a reference to believers who have passed away and are with the Lord. This is a blessed state to enter, absent from our bodies, present in the Lord at the moment of our death. However, in this verse today, it is not positive. The Holy Spirit does not want us to be this way. And it is speaking here of being asleep spiritually, and as believers, this should never be our case. The others Paul refers to here in verse 6 are those who do not have in mind the things of God, those who are caring nothing for Christ, those who do not think about eternity. Again, here is a reference to those who are not saved, who need to know that Jesus is their Savior to receive him as their Savior and Lord. They are the ones asleep. And that they are asleep means that they are, again, spiritually insensitive. They're not aware of the coming of the Lord, nor of spiritual realities, spiritual truth. They are spiritually dead. They are not born again like those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So in this passage, Paul warns believers. He's warning the church then and warning the church now not to live as if asleep, as the unsaved are. And one of the descriptions Paul makes of the unsaved is their lack of self-control. And he is saying, do not be like them in this regard. Stay alert. Again, look at verse 6. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. We need to be sober, awake, alert at all times as we follow Jesus each and every day. This is not the time to be spiritually asleep. And those asleep are inattentive. When you think of anybody sleeping physically, they're inattentive, they're inactive, they're ignorant to what's going on. It's the same spiritually as well. So it is time now more than ever to be fully awake as followers of Jesus Christ and alert. The sense of his imminent return should fill us not just with a sense of gladness and hope and joy, but an urgency to continue to reach the lost. Jesus is coming soon to save us out of this wicked world. And as Christians, we are of the day. Think about that today. You are children of light, children of the day. So we must keep watch and be alert, shining the life of Christ for all to see. And if you have been falling asleep in your spiritual walk with the Lord, it is time to wake up. Jesus actually told the church to do this in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. He actually used those words, wake up. Let me read to you about this church. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come for you. And the problem that Jesus highlights in the church at Sardis could be characterized truly as spiritual sleepwalking. Any sleepwalkers here today? Sleepwalking is such a mysterious occurrence. How it happens? What people do in their sleepwalking, boy, that's just another conversation. But spiritual sleepwalking is just as concerning. The church in this city, they once had a reputation for being alive, but was in fact dead. It had the motions of living, of a living church, but lacked the power of the Holy Spirit. The church had started well, but had failed to follow through. And as a result, Jesus found its deeds, unfinished, incomplete. And so he commands the church and starts to wake up and remember what they had received and heard. Remember, Jesus says. Remember what you have received and heard and obey it. Don't just think about it. Do it and repent. The way to break out of spiritual lethargy is to recall the truth of Scripture, to hold fast to it, to repent. Now in verse 8, back in our passage, Paul uses the image of a soldier's armor to illustrate the idea of, again, being alert, being watchful. Let me read to you verse 8. Paul says, "But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." And he uses the image here of a soldier's armor to illustrate watchfulness. And a soldier is a great example of someone who must be watchful and alert and sober. And he is equipped to do that with his armor. And Paul saw the idea of spiritual armor as a helpful picture, communicating this truth to believers then and now of how important it is, as we know what's coming, to be ready when Jesus returns. Paul says, first, put on the breastplate of faith and love. When you think about a soldier's armor, when you think about what a breastplate covers, you know how important this is, this piece of armor. Faith and love, Paul says, represents here the breastplate, because the breastplate covers vital organs. No soldier would ever go into battle without his breastplate, and no Christian is equipped to live the Christian life without faith and love. So do not let your faith deteriorate, ever. Not just today with everything going on, but ever. Your faith deteriorate and can deteriorate very easily if you're not paying attention to what you're putting into your life, what you're doing with your life. And your faith deteriorates when you, for instance, back away from God's word, when you neglect fellowship with him and with other believers. You cannot afford to let that happen. And so keep drawing closer to God through reading your Bibles, through prayer, through worship, those spiritual disciplines we touched on even last week, but that I will remind you of again today and later on. Also, don't just let your faith deteriorate. Let it continue to increase as you hear the word of God. Hang on to love. Hang on to love. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. Have you noticed this at all in your own family, in your own community, where you work? That there just seems to be increase in this area of life. Many are growing cold in their love. It is a sign of the last days Jesus talked about. Sometimes I wonder, and is now more than ever in the history of mankind, are people's lovers of themselves and of money? This truly seems to be increasing around our world. And because of the wickedness, because of the greed and godlessness around us, we must, as Paul says here, hang on to love. Love for God, love for each other. Protect it like a breastplate. Wear faith and love every day. Paul also said, put on the helmet of hope and salvation. And the hope of salvation is represented as a helmet because the helmet protects the head. Just as important as a breastplate that protects our vital organs, it's just as essential. And so we need to daily renew our minds with Scripture. Keep on our minds whatever keeps Christ at the center of our life. As you consider the promises of God, the teachings of Jesus, put on the helmet of hope and salvation. Don't ever let go of this hope. Our hope is in our salvation. Don't leave home without the helmet of hope and salvation, the breastplate of faith and love. This spiritual armor will protect us from falling back into old sinful habits, lapsing into spiritual slumber again. And may we never, not a single one of us, as followers of Christ, on the day of He returns, finds us asleep spiritually. Now, what do people do to stay awake? So I'd like us to think about that for a moment. What do you do to stay awake if you have a long drive ahead of you? Drink coffee? Splash cold water on your face? Does pinching yourself ever help you stay awake? Eating something? There's lots of different things that people can do to stay awake, whatever that situation they find themselves in. But I want you to think about what it takes to stay awake spiritually, and here are a few things that you can do. First of all, keep Christian company. Keep Christian company. Spend time with other believers in fellowship. Hear them speak about their faith and how they were saved. Hear them speak about their mountaintop experiences and how God has answered prayer in their life. Hear them speak about their prayer journey, how they've learned to pray over the years by praying. Hear them speak about what they're learning in the Bible. Now let me ask you, have you ever shared your testimony with some other believers or in a church setting like this? We have done that at times in our own services, and I think it's time we return to that. So you might get a call in the next few weeks. Would you be open to sharing your testimony for 5 to 8 minutes or something like that? It's great when you hear someone talk about how they met Jesus, how their life was going this way until Jesus came into their life, and now they're heading towards heaven. It's powerful, that it's uplifting. Let's continue to share our faith. If we keep ourselves away from our brothers and sisters, we will be tempted to sit down and go to sleep. Hebrews 10 verses 24 to 25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Number one, keep Christian company. That'll help you stay awake. Number two, serve the Lord. Use your gifts to build up and edify the church. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God made each one of us with unique talents, personalities, and skill sets. And when we ask Jesus into our lives, we're given spiritual gifts. And we get the most joy, and we make the biggest difference when we use our God-given gifts and talents, passions, and abilities to build up and edify the church. Your brothers and sisters sitting next to you. So serve the Lord. Pray for opportunities to serve the Lord, and He will give them to you. And number three, prayer and praise. The act of prayer and praise, they turn our eyes to Jesus. Just singing earlier today, "Our God reigns." Maybe that was the song that you needed today for what you're going through right now. He reigns. He is in control. He is sovereign, even though our world seems to be such a mess. He reigns. And when we pray and when we praise the Lord, they remind us of the power of the cross and of the resurrection of Jesus. They magnify the greatness of God's grace and mercy and what He has done for you, and that He's not done with you yet. Regularly attend worship services like this. Gather together to praise and worship with other believers. Even while you're driving, put on Christian music. You'll find that just one Christian song on a road trip can do a lot more for you than hours of secular music. It really does speak to your heart like nothing else. Different examples of how you can keep prayer and praise at the center of your life. Prayer and praise, they allow us to spend more time with God, and they keep our focus on Him. Psalm 107 verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." You see, praise is a vital part of a life surrendered to God. And prayer, just as important, is a vital part of a life surrendered to God. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, based on God's word this morning, reassuring you, your true identity is light. You are children of the day. You are not of the darkness. You are a child of the light. You belong to Jesus. So walk as if you are awake. God has saved you. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What encouragement and reassurance that is today that in Christ you are a child of light. There's been a radical transformation from darkness to light in the Lord when you committed your life to Him and surrendered your life to Him. And we're told to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of the darkness because we do not belong to the darkness anymore. And as children of light, we are to expose them. So let your light shine before man so that they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Will you keep your eyes on Jesus? Will you stay awake? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, dear Jesus, Yeshua, your name means salvation. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for making us whole. Thank you that we can come together today to remember and recall to mind the promises of God, the truth that you have revealed for us in Scripture, who we are in Christ, children of light. Lord, we want to shine in this dark world. Would you help us to do that again this week, Holy Spirit? Wherever you lead us, to whomever you put in our path, Lord, help us to shine. Let us walk in the truth of who we are and who we belong to. We belong to you, O Lord Jesus. We belong to the one who spoke light into the darkness. God, use our words, use our actions to be light in this dark world. For the darkness cannot overwhelm the light. We thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your forgiveness. Help us to apply your word to our lives even before we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.